This is Homefront South Dakota, and I'm speaking with Edward Borboom. Where were you living during the war, and how old were you at the time?
I was 24 when I volunteered immediate induction in 1944 in the Navy. I was farming, and I was drafted one time, and then they was ready to get on the bus, and they told me that I had to stay off. I had to farm some more, so that I wanted to get into the service and help with the war. So we volunteered for immediate induction, and yes.
Where were you located overseas?
This was my first ship that I was on when we got torpedoed. It was only about 800 miles or 1,000 miles between Hawaii and San Francisco. That was my first ship that I got on, yeah.
Can you tell me a little bit about that experience?
Well, yes, it was on a Sunday morning, and I got off a watch, and I took my shower, and then I went to work, and I was laying in my bunk when the torpedo hit, and the water came right into our room before I could get out of. I was kind of pinned. I was on the bottom bunk, and I was kind of pinned underneath it, so I had quite a job to get out. Put on my life jacket and went out on deck. We stayed on the ship for a while, and then I was a gunner on the big gun, but then so our captain told us to abandon ship.
What happened after that?
Well, we got on our raft, and we was with about, I think it was 17 of us, and no, there was more. The guys that got killed, a lot of them off of our raft. We got on our raft and was on there, and then all once we noticed a light, and we thought it was one of our boats from our ship, and we put on a light. The flagman had a flashlight, and he gave him the signal that we would meet him, and then it was the submarine, and it came right after us. They ran, they went by our ship first. Well, first they did, they shot the big guns off of our ship. It split in half. So they had to shoot the guns off, the big gun off, and then they started the other one in the back. Then off. That was when they was breaking, when they broke the ship. Then they came by, and my friend and I, we were together there behind the raft, and we looked up, and my friend got shot right through the forehead when I was right alongside of me. And then they came back again, and they rammed our raft. And then they made another turn and came back. And the machine gun wanted air boats, too. And then they came back the third time. They rammed our raft. And I was going underneath it. And then I was going to the ship, to the submarine. And then I put my foot up. I kicked the submarine to get away from the submarine. And one of the Navy boys, he was right next to me, but he didn't push himself away for the submarine. He went through the screws of the submarine, and then he was seen him floating around in the morning then.
How did you survive?
Well, what we had left on the raft, we had three of them were shot up. One guy had three shots through him, and one was right through his face, and the blood kept coming out all the time. And I draw the sharks through our raft a lot. They come and they try and jump, hit us off the raft. We didn't have much to stand on no more because it was all broke up.
So what was going through your mind at that time? Were you afraid that you wouldn't make it?
I was more than afraid. When they came back, we were standing there. We said we were going to give up. And then plane came over, and just at the same time, about 800 tons of bombs went off. It exploded then. It was 150 ton of bombs. Yeah, it was on the half past of the back part of our ship, that where the bombs were, and that drew the attention to the plane that was going over. Then they came back and kind of let us know that they knew we were out there. But it was very cold yet, but all I had on was my life jacket and a pair of jeans. And it was getting pretty cold, but I think the oil, layer of oil kind of helped to keep us warm and made me awful sick. I did an awful lot of vomiting. The oil, it was in awful rough water, too. It took off one of the rafts off of the ship before, you know, before that Sunday, before noon. So that we didn't have much to go on with. It was such a wild water there, yeah. I never figured we'd make it. You know, I was glad I did send my folks a picture of me. I was sure glad I'd done that because we thought we never would make it. Well, we were going to give up, yeah. None of us were going to get off of a piece of raft we was on.
What was the name of the ship that you were on that got torpedoed?
John A. Johnson. He was a governor of Minnesota at one time. I don't know what year it was. He was named after Minnesota.
Were you wounded?
Yeah, I got the Purple Heart, yes, in my foot. And I don't mean to say kick. When I pushed myself away from the submarine, that's when I broke my foot down, yeah. And I got hit up some crawling out of the rafter. I mean, underneath the bed, I was cut up pretty bad. Spent some time in the hospital.
After that experience, did you have to go back overseas, or did you get to go back to the States?
We got right when I got back to San Francisco, Treasure Island, the ambulance was there, and they picked me up and they took me to the hospital. And I spent some time in the hospital there.
Did you have to go back overseas?
After I got out of the hospital, I had a survivor leave, and then I went back and I worked in the Lucky Bag. That's where the storage closed, and I helped pack up where the people helped pack up the boxes for the ones that got killed. And then I asked to be transferred. I wanted to go back out to sea. And then I went to Japan, yeah. I was halfway to Japan when they dropped the bomb.
What made you want to go back overseas after that first experience?
Well, I guess I wanted to see the part of the world, I suppose. I don't know. Because I was really upset. Just within me, I guess, yeah. And I wanted to help out the most possible, yeah. But then I couldn't do much walking at that time either, so. But they let me go. But then when I got over there, the captain of the ship, I was sitting watching, and he came up and he asked me why I was sitting, and I told him, and he said, I'm going to have to send you back to the States. So then I served a little while, and then I got my discharge.
What was that moment like for you when you found out the war was over?
Oh, we really had a good time. We didn't have nothing to drink or nothing, but we've all kind of hollered and whistled and stuff like that. Yeah, we were very rejoiced, so cheered. Yeah, we cheered like they were when they were shooting at us on the ship. They were hollering at us too, you know, off the submarine. Now,
did the war change you?
Well, yes, it did. I came home here, and they wanted me to go to therapy all the time. And I guess I didn't, in them days, pardon me for saying it, but they used to call them head shrinkers, you know. And I didn't want to go to that. This guy would say, did you go to the head shrinker, you know. And I didn't want to do it, but I should have. About 20 years now, I've been going for treatments, and I'm still going now yet. It really helped me a lot. Yeah, group therapy is what we got, yeah. And
so was it kind of difficult for you to put the war behind you then?
Sometimes when I'm watching TV and some of that news, like now, it kind of makes me awfully upset yet, yeah.
Is there anything else you'd like to share with us?
I don't think the people realize really now. I think they're starting to realize a little bit more, but I don't think they realize what we really did go through. A lot of people, when I talk now, I've never talked about it since I went to therapy, and now I can, but that people think you're just kind of bragging or doing some talk, you know. You show them the pictures, you know, stuff, and they don't think it was too much yet. Yeah, it's coming out better now that they are respecting. And one time, one of the highway patrolmen, I kind of was speeding, and he said that he respected veterans, and he let me go.